Welcome to Voices of Blessed Sacrament. Each week we break open God's Word and share stories of faith and family, all to help one another recognize and experience the presence of God.
The third Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. I chose to do a reflection on this particular gospel because so much of it resonated with my life right now. Though I'm first going to look at some parts of the gospel individually, those parts will eventually all tie together. Being a big fan of the Chosen series about the life and ministry of Jesus and particularly his disciples, I am visualizing these scenes through that show. Jesus learns that his beloved cousin John has been arrested, and he is deeply grieved. He leaves his hometown and goes to Galilee to the north. But he doesn't do anything to help John, to rescue him. He doesn't even go to see him. And only once do we read in the scriptures that he sends word to reassure John that he is the Christ. Jesus knows the Father's will for John and accepts it, though his heart breaks. John, too, knows the Father's will for himself and accepts it. The words we say at the end of the Our Father, "Thy will be done," are probably the hardest words we must be willing to say, and say again and again, if we are to have any peace. Next, we are directed to an ancient prophecy from Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From despair to hope. The people are not moving around in the darkness, for they cannot see. They are immobilized and can only sit. They feel constantly overshadowed by death, hopeless. And suddenly a great light appears, and there is hope and life. Jesus' mission on earth begins from that time on. The gospel reading moves immediately to the calling of disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. and I have always been intrigued and astounded that they began to follow Jesus at once and immediately. They left their old lives behind to follow Jesus into the unknown. This strikes me as crazy. Why didn't they think this through? Why didn't they ask what would be involved? Talk it over with a spiritual director. Consider the consequences. How could you make that kind of decision in a single moment? It took me years to fully commit myself to being a full-fledged follower of Jesus. Actually, I'm still working on it. The only explanation that I can find, and I was going to say a rational explanation, but that doesn't seem to fit, is that they experienced Jesus. He looked them in the eyes and straight into their souls. And that look and his words were so filled with love and truth that all fear and questions vanished. How I have longed for that look. In fact, I have stood in front of a picture of Jesus, his eyes looking somewhere in the distance over my shoulder, which hangs in our bedroom. My mother painted that picture. I was crying out to Jesus in prayer and feeling unheard, said in my sternest, most motherly voice, "Look at me when I'm talking to you." Nothing miraculous happened. The eyes in the picture didn't move, but at least I could laugh at myself. It seems Jesus speaks to me in other ways, mostly through his creation. And so I turn back now to the Isaiah passage. To those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. My husband Tim and I have dwelt in that land. We have sat in that darkness. I'm sure many of you have too. Sometimes it's a long sit. Sometimes that shadow lingers on and on. And sometimes the light arises slowly and faintly, as through a misty morning. John's gospel assures us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That light shines in each of us who have said yes to following Jesus and living his command to love one another. That love, compassion, kindness, generosity, and forgiveness is the light that shines in the darkness. Our little lights originate from that one great light of which Isaiah spoke. And that light can never be extinguished. I am so grateful for all the people who let their light shine into our darkness. And I am equally grateful to have had the privilege of letting my light shine into others' darkness. How and to whom will you be light in the darkness this week?
Let's go into this week ready to recognize and experience the presence of God and to help others do the same.